Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Today's Issues, the name of this show. And we'll be here for another 24 and a half more minutes. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson. And now Steve Paisley-Jordahl.
Good morning and afternoon,
the room.
Everybody.
How you doing, Brother Steve?
Well, fine. There was a bit of weeping and gnashing of teeth at our house over the weekend.
Yeah, your wife's
big Alabama fan.
Alabama fan.
Her whole side of the family is. So
that Oklahoma was knocked them off in Tuscaloosa, right?
That was not good. Yeah, and Alabama dominated every single category, but two turnovers did them in. So.
Well, that's the way it goes.
Sometimes. It is. They're now, you know, number
10. You grew up in California.
I did.
Colorado.
Uh-huh.
And then
here.
So, but you married a girl.
I married an Alabama girl.
Yeah. And who's Roll Tide.
She's right. Roll Tide. She played in the, in the band there. And
so you married into the family.
I married into Roll Tide. I married into the SEC. I was Mountain West.
Right.
I graduated from San Jose State University and was a big Air Force. Still am a big Air Force fan because I lived in Colorado Springs for 15 years. So
then you learned what religion's really about.
Then I learned nothing like it. Listen, the SEC is a cut above the Mountain West.
Yeah. All right. So. Lanae Patrick, I asked Lanae to come into the studio just for a few minutes and be our guest to talk about our American Family Association, American Family Radio 2025 Christmas button. And we are getting swarmed with orders, and we're going to talk about it just now with Lanae because she oversees our product distribution part of our ministry. What's your proper title there, Lanae?
I am the director of the AFA Resource Center.
Let me write that down, because I'm the president, and I need to know what you do around here. Director of what?
The AFA Resource Center.
Of AFA Resource Center. All right. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
To the program. Here. Lanae Patrick, now where'd y'all grow up?
I grew up in North Dakota.
All right. North Dakota.
North Dakota.
I detect a little North Dakota accent right there.
Huh? My accent is a mismatch of several areas.
Okay. So how did you get down? Have you wondered this your whole time down here? How did you get down to Mississippi from North Dakota?
That is close. Yes. My husband actually, he had been working at AFA.
Your husband, Devin.
Husband, Devin, right. He had been working at AFA since 2007. He'd been here about 3.5 years. He took a year sabbatical, went to India to work for a nonprofit there, a ministry. I was working for the same ministry.
Not to find himself.
Not to find himself, no.
Okay, that's good to know, because a lot of people go to India to find themselves, and they never find themselves.
No, he found a wife instead.
They're out $10,000, and then they didn't even find themselves.
That's right.
So he found you over there?
He found me over there, yes.
American girl. Mm-hmm. In India, and Devin's over there on a 1 year.
Yep.
In all seriousness, he went over there to do some Christian
work.
He did.
Yeah. We are actually our terms there coincided. We technically met in the international terminal of O'Hare, but didn't really have any conversation to get to know each other until we made it to India, and so spent the next 11 months getting to know each other. And toward the end of it,
he's from Michigan, right?
He's from Michigan, right?
He's from Michigan. You're from North Dakota.
And
you live in Mississippi.
That's right. So he came back a month later. We got married and moved back down here. He resumed his position. And almost about 8 months later, I was hired on here.
All right. We've got these Christmas buttons. Jesus. I want to, if people are watching on the internet, you probably can't see that, but you can flash it up. And you can also see this if you go to our website. Which, Lanae, talk about the buttons, where people can go and look at them, how they can go place an order, because we've got these things at a very good price.
We did. And we've so far sold about 5,000 packs, and they come in packs of 10.
Wow.
So that means 50,000 AFA Christmas buttons with the message of Christ are out there or on their way to people in the U.S. And we've got a few thousand more to go, so we encourage you to call in, get online, order yours before they're gone. They can order it at the website, resources.afa.net, or by calling. We have an order line where someone will be happy to take your order for you.
You can see the button, right, when you go to this website?
Yes.
Go ahead.
It's right on the homepage. There's a picture of it. Just click on it, and it takes you there. The phone number is 877-927-4917.
Okay. Go ahead and give that phone number again. Where does that phone number call? How much do the buttons cost? They're called, the buttons are, they've got the nativity scene on it, and it says Jesus, our joy for all eternity. Again, you can go look at it at afa.net.
Yes.
afa.net. But they can, if they want to pick up the phone and order this 10 pack, or they come in packs of 10.
They come in packs of 10.
So if you want to order 20, for example, or 30, mm-hmm. You can do that.
Absolutely.
What's the phone? Does that phone number call us here?
The phone number calls. We contract with
an order center
that works with a lot of nonprofits and Christian ministries.
Okay.
And we've worked with them for years, and they're great.
Just tell them you want the AFA Christmas button.
That's right.
Okay.
And
go ahead.
They'll know exactly what you're talking about. It is 877-927-4917. What we've done this year is we've changed our system to an ordering system by donation. So it's a minimum of $5 per 10 pack, but we encourage you, everything you donate above and beyond that per pack goes to the Ministry of AFA.
So whatever you want to pay beyond $5
absolutely.
Is up to you.
The retail price is listed as $15 per 10 pack, but we encourage people, you know, you're supporting AFA. You're helping us to make sure this happens again next year.
Right. All right. So give the website and give the phone number again.
The website is resources.afa.net, or the phone number is 877-927-4917.
If you call today, we'll get those buttons out, and you can have them by Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
And then you can wear them and give them away during the month of December. And what a great way to be a Christian witness.
Absolutely.
Because people are going to see those buttons, they're going to ask you about them, and then you can hand them one.
That's right. Amen. And if you are a church or a small business owner, we've had several small businesses like restaurants, medical offices.
Have a box up front, maybe?
Yeah. They'll order 20 packs, 50 packs, and they give them out to their customers, their employees, all the people that come in and are a blessing to their community.
Mm. Amen.
That's great.
Man, do you miss the North Dakota winters?
Not in the least.
You sound like Brother Fred over here from Canada.
That's right.
He loves his home country, and North Dakota's beautiful, but go in September, right?
Yeah.
June and July are beautiful.
That's right.
That's when we need to escape down here.
That's exactly right. Yeah, September starts getting a little iffy.
Those of us who...
September gets iffy? What kind of place did you grow up in?
North
Dakota.
I've been through Fargo in wintertime.
Uh-huh.
6 or 7 months of winter will cure you of that idea. I think I'd love to move to the north because I like those pictures on the Christmas cards, you know, with the smoke curling out and the nice snow around.
Oh, is that what
people
it's like?
Fall in love with winter.
The idea?
Yeah.
You've been watching too much Hallmark here, I think.
You get about 4 days of that and then you're ready for it to change.
Amen. Amen.
I think God knew what to do with Brother Tim when he placed me here. I don't complain much about the heat and humidity in the summer, but man, if I had to live somewhere where September was the beginning of winter,
can shoot me.
Just go ahead and put me out of my misery.
It's like one day a switch flips and you got to wear your jackets and your long sleeves.
Seriously, in North Dakota, it is really pretty, at least through October,
in all seriousness.
Right?
Most of the time, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of the time.
I've driven on ice on my birthday, which is in the middle of October. So
yes.
I never hold my breath.
Thank you, Lene.
You're welcome.
Patrick joining us there. All right, Brother Steve,
hey.
What you got?
Well, guess what?
What, Steve?
President Trump is saying that if you want to continue having SNAP or the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, aka food stamps, you got to reapply. One of the things that the shutdown did, because you remember that everybody got thrown off of SNAP, and it started a discussion about how much we spend on SNAP, which is about $100 million, $100 billion a year, $100 billion a year, and. People said that's a lot of money. Who's starving in America? I mean, if you know, so they did some auditing and they found that there's a lot of people that don't belong on SNAP. A lot of illegal immigrants, a lot of people who are eligible to work. President Trump was talking about this, and this is what he had to say. Cut four.
When I was president, the number that you're talking about was a tiny fraction of what it is now. Biden went totally crazy, gave it to anybody that would ask, gave it to people that were able-bodied, had no problem. Anybody that would ask, we get the number. And it's many times the number of people are on. This wasn't meant for that. It was meant for people that had real problems, in many cases, people that were down and out, people that could be saved. It wasn't meant for people that could do whatever they want, the people that say, well, I don't think I'll work, I'll just, you know, collect this money. Take a look at the number of what it was during my administration and what it was during the Biden administration. It went up many, many times.
Okay, so like with any federal government program, it's eventually going to be used and abused because there's no accountability. And so I commend President Trump and his administration on this because there is, he's not saying people, he's not saying he's against food stamps.
No.
He's saying, which is, that's what we call SNAP benefits today. It's no longer called food stamps. Well, we grew up known as food stamps, right? Right? He's saying that they're going to do an, basically do, you're going to reapply so that you can prove that you're legitimately receiving these funds and yes. It's not being, you're not a part of the fraud and abuse that takes place. This happened with disability too. You've seen those people get, now when you have government programs as big and on a massive scale like we have in this country, you are going to always have fraud and abuse. You just are. But you can cut that back by having more accountability. And in this case, this is what amounts to, seems to me, an audit, Fred.
Absolutely.
Of this program.
Well, it's, you know, it's needed. There are now 41 million Americans that are receiving this benefit, SNAP.
How benefit. Much is that a month? Or does it depend on how much, how many people you
it
have in your home?
It depends on the size of your family. I can pull that up for you.
How many dependents, et cetera, et cetera. Here's the big problem, and the Trump administration has recognized this. Under the Biden administration, you didn't even have to be in the country legally.
You mean to get these benefits?
To get these benefits. Just showing up and getting them. And then you have, one, and President Trump mentioned this, you have able-bodied people getting this. In other words, they have no physical disabilities or anything. We're talking about people who could get a job.
Right.
There are people, there's a large coffee organization in this country that'll pay you $20 an hour.
Yeah.
So, and they're looking for people.
Yeah.
All right. So there's, if you're able-bodied and you could go out and work for a living, then you're not going to get this program anymore. So it's going to save the taxpayers many hundreds of millions of dollars.
Go ahead, Steve.
If you are a single person, you can receive up to $298 a month in food stamps or SNAP benefits. A couple without kids, two people, $546. A three-person family, $785. If you're four people or more, I believe, it's, well, you might, and then there's an additional per. So $994 for four people, and then there's an additional set amount for any child over four.
Okay.
So if you have 12 kids,
you mean if you have four people live in the house, you get a check for approximately $1,000 a month?
Yep.
Wow. But how could four people be, is that coincidental? You got four people who can't, maybe you're talking about minors.
You know, sure. Maybe it's
you're talking about an adult with three children or something like that.
Yeah, it's a family. It's a family measure.
Well, you know, once you start talking about making people re-sign up for it, then the liberals are going to say, "See, you're for starving people." When nobody's for starving people,
nope.
But you've got to have some idea of accountability for who's eligible and who's not.
Yeah.
Otherwise. If everybody just can sign up and get it without much proof of any situation, then you're going to have abuse because that's human nature.
It interesting when the government shutdown started?
Yeah.
You started to see these videos on social media because you had the, you know, people saying, look at me, I'm starving. Somebody would ask them, do you work? And they would go silent.
Yeah.
You know, they've been living off of this. Some people sell their benefits also.
Really?
There was one lady being interviewed, and she said, I take so much, and then I sell the rest of the benefit. So there's so much abuse.
One of the things, and it's a cynical take, but one of the things that people are saying could happen with this is if you're kicking every illegal immigrant off of SNAP, they're not going to be able to live here anymore. They will maybe go back to their own country.
Yeah.
That's what people are saying. I don't know if that's in the mind.
Hey, what's your next story? Because I got one. If you
No, go ahead. Whatever you'd like to talk about, I'm ready.
I saw this last night. I read various news sites. I'm a news junkie like you guys are. You almost have to be in the work we're in. But I read the New York Post, and that's a conservative newspaper website for the most part. I mean, they have some liberal commentary too, but that, you know, that's just part of Ed Op or whatever. But I trust their news story writing. But anyway, I was reading this last night, and I don't read a lot of business news because it's boring. But in this case, this caught my attention. I'll just read you the first couple of paragraphs. It says Ford, as in the motor company, the Ford Motor Company, has been unable to fill some 5,000 openings for mechanics, despite offering a salary of $120,000 a year.
Wow.
Prompting the company's chief executive to warn of a dire shortage of skilled tradespeople in the U.S.
Yep. Yeah.
Let me give you another couple quotes, and you can comment, Fred. This is the CEO of Ford, Jim Farley. He said, we are in trouble in our country. We are not talking about this enough. He said, we have over 1 million openings in critical jobs, emergency services. Now, he's not talking about necessarily right here Ford itself. I think he's talking about the U.S., but he does get back to his own company. He says, we have over 1 million openings in critical jobs, emergency services, trucking, factory workers, plumbers, electricians, and tradesmen. He said, this is a very serious thing. The $120,000 pay is nearly twice the average annual American salary. Let me go on with a couple of other things. He says, it takes about 5 years to learn the skills needed to pull a diesel engine out of a Ford Super Duty truck, and the country isn't training enough people to do it, he said. We do not have trade schools. End quote. Anyway, he goes on here to talk about how there's a shortage in our country of people who are that do stuff. Go ahead.
Now,
for lack of a better term,
In the last several months, Mike Rowe, if people are familiar with,
yeah,
Mike Rowe,
Dirty Jobs Guy,
Dirty Jobs Guy, he has been out there preaching this gospel, saying enough is enough. You got so many kids that are going to university and getting a degree.
Right.
You know, they get a degree in whatever, but there's no jobs for that coming out of university. But he says we should be encouraging young men and young women to go into the trades and train to be a mechanic, train to be a plumber, train to be a welder, because that's, he says, AI is not going to replace those jobs. AI cannot fix an engine
right.
AI cannot do plumbing. AI cannot build a house for you. But so he's saying we should be having people because, as that story said, they're great paying jobs.
Yeah. He says the baby boomers are retiring from the trades faster than millennials and Gen Zers are entering them, Steve.
There.
Have you heard this?
No, I cover AI for American Family News, and all my sources have been telling me the exact same thing. We used to tell kids, if you want a job that's got the future and you want to make some good money, learn how to code, because that was computers were it. Well, now we have an AI program that can code just about anything you want coded in about like 100 times faster than any human could. In seconds, you can get complicated code. So coding is not going to be the future. What is are the trades. Like Fred was saying, until you get a robot that can actually lean over an engine and take out a computer chip or whatever, that's going to be where the future growth is.
I wonder why this is, the lack of trade. Just don't think they – you think it's the manual labor part of it that –
Well, I think what happened was that there was an impression that was planted in our culture out there that those are kind of jobs for
Blue collar?
Yeah, jobs for people.
They weren't going to pay enough to make a living?
Well, not only that, those are jobs for people who couldn't get in university.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. That's a false narrative.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But it was still out there.
Yes. There's a lot of good comment. Charlie Kirk never went to college.
Right.
Matt Walsh never went to college. Kirk would often, one of his arguments was college is ripping you off. So I think Fred's exactly right. A lot of kids were told, go to college. We made loans easy to get. You didn't have to pay them back. And it devalued the value of a college education.
I think a lot of people now today, especially the parents of kids that are going to college, is if you're going to go for 4 or 5 years, some have to go longer, you better make sure you get a degree in something that you can actually get a job that pays.
Yes. Absolutely.
You know, not some, fantastical dreamland job major that you can't get a job with.
Lesbian studies basket weaving, for example.
Yeah, I mean, people.
I'll tell you
because you might spend so much money on college, it better be worth it in the end.
The best deal in the world?
Yeah.
Get involved with our military.
There you go.
Go into the military.
Like ROTC program or something like that?
Go into the military, get a trade training.
Okay.
Not mechanical.
Oh, that's true.
You're making money.
Right.
While you're being trained.
Right.
You put your 5, 6, 7 years in.
Right.
You come out trained. You're going to be grabbed.
By companies.
Yeah,
you're going to be a hot commodity.
You're already trained. You're ready to go.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's the people coming out of the military. That companies do look, if they can put 5 years in the military, I know they're going to be trained well, and they're going to be self-disciplined, and they're going to be hard workers, right?
Absolutely. It's win-win all the way.
Yeah. It's kind of like the military has vetted you for a company.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Before you get there.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
All right, Steve, what else you got
all
there?
All right, let's end here, I think. Michelle Obama keeps getting asked, are you going to run for president? And she keeps saying no. And now we know why she says no. And it just is kind of another indication of what we may have, if she decided to run and won, what we may have dodged the bullet on. I want you to hear why she says she'd never want to run for president. And then another kind of weird thing about hair style. Cut 13.
As we saw in this past election, sadly, we ain't ready. That's why I'm like, don't even look at me about running, because you all are lying. You're not ready for a woman. You are not. So don't waste my time. We got a lot of growing up to do. And there's still, I'm sadly, a lot of men who do not feel like they can be led by a woman. And we saw it. Let me explain something to white people. Our hair comes out of our head naturally in a curly pattern. So when we're straightening it to follow your beauty standards, we are trapped by the straightness. That's why so many of us can't swim.
I don't think she needs to be president.
I don't either.
Maybe a comedian. I don't know if she can work some humor in there.
She's a bitter woman.
The first time.
She's a bitter woman.
Listen, America may elect a president woman. I don't think has anything. Hillary Clinton got more votes than Donald Trump.
Yes. Give me a Maggie Thatcher.
So, I mean, the fact that people won't vote for a woman now, I vote for people based on their politics and their liberal conservative, not whether they're white, black, or man, woman.
Yeah.
I think that's just a ridiculous argument about the white people and the hair straightening thing. I got no comment.
I don't even know what it means.
Because I haven't even had hair for like 25 years, so I don't care about that issue. Huh? That doesn't interest me at all. We'll be back tomorrow. See you then.